being joined now by our friend EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. EJ, did you get a chance to see the DeBrusk family on the ice yesterday in Edmonton? Father Louis interviewing son Jake. Did you get a peek at that?
Yes, I did, and I would agree with you guys. I just heard you chatting about it, and it's awesome. And I'm like you, Jeff. As a hockey father, I coach my son's U15 team, and I'm around the, you know, we have a lot of time. We've spent a lot of time together over the last several years on all these different trips and games, and you can really relate to, like, a moment like that to see, to see your son there to make it in the National Hockey League, and you're interviewing him, all things. And I just loved the little, as he went, skated away.
Yeah.
You know, Jake said, like, love you, Dad. I mean, that was, I don't want to dwell on it too long because I'll get emotional.
Now, you know, I don't want to turn the show into this maudlin endeavor here,
cool.
But it was really cool. Yeah. You know, one of the things, EJ, yep, that I think we've always admired about you is how forward a thinker you are and how innovative you are. And listen, a lot of hockey's presence on television, specifically on the NHL Network, I think was, and I know you're probably going to be humble about this, but at least encouraged by EJ. You've always made the case for things like, you know, the World Junior Hockey Championships. We need to be showing this because for a lot of hockey fans, these hockey players come from factories in Moose Jaw and Val-d'Or and Helsinki and Stockholm, and they just appear on our screens. Let's give viewers a chance to find out where they're from, give them the backstory so they know something about them when they graduate to the NHL. My idea for the trade deadline, I've been banging this drum for a long time, turn it into a pillar event, and you set it up like the draft, and there's 31 tables and 31 teams, and you shoot it all for television so you see the GMs walking, you know, down the down from one table to the next to have those conversations, and you make it almost like a draft event. I know this is never going to happen, EJ. I will talk about it every year. I know it's never going to happen. But how do you view trade deadline day? And is there a, well, hang on a second here, Merrick. Here's how we should do trade deadline thought in EJ Raddick's head.
Well, I mean, I think what you're talking about is kind of fun. And we're in an era right now when we are seeing different sports leagues really rethink the way they are doing things. For many years, I think the NBA is talking about the idea of kind of a Christmas tournament of some sort.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, we've had this discussion in baseball of more recently of changing the playoff structure. We've had it, the NFL right now is talking about adding teams to the playoffs. And, you know, I think we're always looking for different ways to entertain and to engage with fans. And the trade deadline to me is one of the biggest times a year for hockey fans, because all 31 teams are engaged, right? And, yeah, you know, soon to be 32, because you're either selling or buying. And the fans, I find, are at a really fevered pitch because of all that different potential movement, really even more so than you get to the Stanley Cup final, let's say, which is great and we love it and it's awarding the championship and the Stanley Cup and the lore and the legend. But at the end of the day, there's only two teams and two fan bases that are really engaged. Yes, hockey fans are paying attention, but when you have a trade deadline, when you have a draft, you have a playoff chase, it's not quite as many, but, you know, you have all the teams engaged. So I'd be open to any number of ideas to try to make it even more interesting, and I think that would be fun. I guess there's been a lot of discussion about kind of combining the GM's meetings and the trade deadline because they're pretty close in proximity. Maybe you have those GM show up in Florida a little bit earlier, and yep, maybe you can shoot it that way. But I think it would be a lot of fun, and I think it is time to try to think of different things. I know for me, one of the things I've always talked about, you know, people talk about Olympic participation. I'd love to see, and I hear finally some talk of it, I'd love to see a best-on-best tournament that the NHL runs, like a World Cup that takes place in February when it's yep, cold and people are really engaged in hockey. And if we're willing to shut it down for a few weeks for the Olympics, why not shut it down for an event that the league could control itself and really package and present to fans all over the world? So there's always a lot of different ways to look at it. And I think we're in a time we're going to see a lot of changes in all of the different sports coverage.
Just as a quick aside about Olympic participation, I was always in the camp that said if the NHL and IOC couldn't come to a decision on an agreement, the NHL should run their World Cup, which is the premier event, as we all know, at the Winter Games, run their event right up against the Olympics. Sure.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's terrific.
Right?
I agree, because you can control it. That's the biggest thing. Yes. I don't think that, you know, players who are in the mix of it and, you know, and fans to a certain degree, I mean, they don't understand necessarily the business end of it. And, you know, the NHL does not benefit from the Olympic participation in a lot of ways, and they take a lot of the risk with the players involved. And I know from a television standpoint, like at the NHL Network, we're really limited. If you know, when the Olympics happened,
yes,
in the last time, I mean, we could barely show any highlights of it. I mean, it's really there's not a lot of upside for, you know, the business of the NHL outside of the hope that people will watch it and it'll be good for hockey, which it normally is, particularly when it's in North America. When it's been, you know, in Sochi, or when it's been prior to that in Italy, I don't think, and in those particular tournaments, you know, the U.S. team didn't particularly play well. At 06, I guess the U.S. and Canada didn't play well. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what we get out of that games at, you know, in the wee hours of the morning. So for me, I agree with you. Like, if the IOC doesn't want to do more to help the NHL sell it, I think, sure, let's play it right up against it and have a best-on-best tournament and have it in NHL rinks across North America, and I think it would be terrific.
EJ, I think the point you make about fan engagement and time of the year is actually super interesting. Like, I'm 10 years out of hockey now and been in content creation for a while, and the Stanley Cup Final barely moves the needle in terms of videos and articles read, and that's a really good point. So which team's fan base is going to be the most engaged here coming up at the trade deadline? You know, because it's that time of year where there's a whole handful of teams thinking, this is our time, we're going to get better, we're going to get that push over the hump. Do you get a sense that a Colorado, or maybe you have another team off the top of your head that feels like they're going to be super active?
Well, I mean, Colorado is obviously interesting because of the goaltending injury, the injury to Rantanen. But, you know, I think the team that I think the fans are going to be are most curious about is going to be the Rangers, because they have to decide now, all of a sudden, find themselves 6 points out of a playoff spot, you know, where they feel they are. Now, I don't think they're going to get in the playoffs. I think they're really taking – this has been a better-than-expected team this year. They've been a fun team to watch. Panarin has been, I mean, let's face it, if the Rangers were to make the playoffs, Panarin would be in the mix for the Hart Trophy. He's been that good. He is such a difference maker for them, and he's been worth really every penny, and they paid a lot of pennies to get him. So he's been terrific. But the Kreider situation, the goaltending situation, and, you know, now this kind of little bit of a push towards a possible playoff spot. So I think the Ranger fans are going to be pretty activated in the next bunch of days. I think Bruins fans, because, you know, they saw Tampa do something special, and adding, I think, Blake Coleman, which is a really nice fit. They've been just playing lights out good with 11 straight wins now. And I almost worry about the Lightning that they're winning too much right now, because we got a long way to go before April begins the tournament. So, you know, I think those are the two that come to mind right away. And in the end, the Bruins and Rangers may end up dealing, because we know Chris Kreider is certainly on the list for the Boston Bruins.
Well, I personally think that we should do trade deadline day as an auction, where you bring 5-6 players from the team, a bunch of prospects, and you dress them all up and say, hey, here we go.
But 85, do I hear
that? Wow, we've seen a couple trades already in the last couple days, and there's still four days until the trade deadline. Are we gearing up for a quiet day, or is there going to be lots of action on Monday?
Yeah, I'll really be curious, because, like, I look out there and, you know, who are the names? I mean, again, Kreider is a big name. I mean, I guess if Montreal decides to maybe move a Jeff Petrie, that's somebody that could be interesting. The Devils still have Sammy Vatanen that they'll likely, you know, move. You know, he's been injured right now, but I would think he's going to be healthy enough that he could be part of it for somebody. You know, San Jose still got a couple of pieces there. I guess they're an interesting situation this year. You know, Ottawa's got J.G. Pageau and a couple of other veteran-type players. So, you know, there's nobody that I just, you know, outside of Kreider, and I guess the wild card of Henrik Lundqvist, if he decides to waive his no trade, and the Rangers, while not having any, you know, overt desire to move him, and saying, quite frankly, that's the case, it seems like by not playing them for long stretches of time, you know, that might be a message to Henrik in a different way. But outside of that, I mean, I don't know. Outside of Kreider, it's like, is there anybody out there that's a real, you know, game changer? I don't know. I do like Pageau. I think he's a guy that could fit in a lot of places, and I'll be curious to see if the Ottawa Senators, you know, make a move there. I would think they would, seeing they haven't signed him at this point.
Okay, let me give you, because EJ, I cheer for the best story. I really cheer for chaos. But for the purposes of this conversation, let's just say I cheer for the best story. What would be a bigger story to you? Jeff Carter goes back to Philadelphia. We all know the Nolan Patrick situation. Or Joe Thornton goes back to Boston.
Oh, Joe Thornton going back to Boston would be, that's a big story. I mean, he was a first overall pick and left Boston in really a tough circumstance with a lot of people down on him. And he's gone on to San Jose and had an amazing career. And the Bruins have, let's face it, they're playing every bit as good as the Lightning right now. And they were in the final last year. And Joe Thornton trying to win a Stanley Cup. And to do it back in Boston, I mean, that would be a great story. I mean, Jeff Carter, I mean, he has won a couple of cups in Los Angeles. I think he loves it in Los Angeles. I don't think he has any desire to go back to Philadelphia. So, for me, I think that's it. The Joe Thornton to Boston, that would be a great story. I just, when I look at it, I just don't see the fit there. But you can always hope. You can always hope.
Well, that's just it. You just wait for so what is going to top? Because St. Louis was such a fantastic story last year. Mm-hmm. It's always sort of blue sky, these things. Okay, what's going to give you the great storybook finish? And it was for St. Louis. And all I can come up with is Joe Thornton goes back to the Boston Bruins, wins the Stanley Cup, and calls it a career.
Yeah, that would be a great, great story. I would definitely be rooting for that. And, it's been it's certainly been a rough year for San Jose in so many different ways. And, for Joe Thornton, I mean, this could be it no matter what. And, I'll be curious to see if there's a place for Joe Thornton to land. I mean, his buddy Joe Pavelski is in Dallas. Dallas is in a position, I don't think, to spend a ton to add another player. Would the Dallas Stars, who are looking for offense, maybe a help on the power play, add another older veteran forward to their group? I don't know. I'll be curious to see if Joe wants to go anywhere and what the offers look like for him. Because certainly as a guy that comes in and helps a power play, I think that's something he can really still do. And there's the intangible of just, the rallying around an individual within your group to kind of take you to another level over a couple of month period.
Yeah, let me get you a quick thought on Dallas, an organization that you know quite well from your background. Yeah. If you're the Dallas Stars, you're Jim Nill right now. Are you not looking around the Western Conference and saying, okay, nobody wants to run away with the Pacific. That's open. And you look at the Central and you say, Colorado's got a ton of injuries. That was a big win last night for the Avs. Make no mistake about it. We just saw the St. Louis Blues lose a handful of games in a row. Maybe if you're Jim Nill, you say to yourself, we might be the best of this bunch right now. We may have a real shot at this thing.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the way he should be looking at it. And I think this, the schedule over, I believe they play back-to-back with the Blues coming up over the next couple of days. And I think that's going to give him, I think he's going to watch those games very intently and see where he thinks his team is at. They're a unique team because they've got some older guys that are in that win now type mode. And, even Jamie Bennett, 30, is kind of, if it's not going to be now or next year, when is it going to be for Jamie Benn? Tyler Seguin has had some struggles this year, but he seems to be kind of moving out of that right now and playing a little bit better. They've got a good group of defense. They defend well. They've got great goaltending. Their window is kind of interesting because they've got some really good younger players as well with, Haskinen, who I just love him. I just think he's a future Norris Trophy winner on defense. And, but I think if you're Dallas, and here's the worry is they would have to give up a first round pick, probably to get a really, if they wanted to get in on Kreider, they don't have a second or a third in this draft. So if they trade that one, now they don't have a first, second, or third. But again, if you think Kreider is the difference between, getting you all the way through and maybe winning the Stanley Cup, maybe it's time to roll the dice if you're the Dallas Stars. That's the question for these teams that are close, and especially in the Western Conference this year, because you are right. It is kind of wide open there. It's kind of the question that the Avalanche have with the injuries. I see the Avalanche as a team that's going to be really good for the next 10 years.
Yep.
But, is this the best year? I mean, you never know. I mean, as things go forward, there's things that happen. Contract situations change. Players sometimes get injured or they underperform. This is a good opportunity. How much do we want to get in on this year. So these next couple of days are going to be really interesting for teams like that, particularly in the Western Conference, where a lot of teams could make a case that, hey, with this particular player, we could maybe win now.
So we've heard from you a little bit on some of the players and the situation around the New York Rangers. They're 7-3-0 in their last 10 games and moving in the right direction. Also in New York and not moving the right direction, though, are the New York Islanders. Things are a little bit precarious right now. They're hanging on to the last wild card spot there in the East, but barely. They've lost 4 games in a row. They're without Adam Pellick. What are your thoughts on what the Islanders are going through and their appetite to get aggressive and improve here at the deadline?
Yeah, big loss in losing Pellick because, you know, the Islanders had the great year last year, and a lot of credit goes, obviously, to Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz and the way the Trotz system for, you know, really shutting it down and playing a defensive-type game and limiting opportunities. All that is great, but I think what people didn't realize is that Pellick, Pulock, and Toews are 3 really good young defensemen, and, you know, those guys are better than people realized. And they only had, early in the year, they only had the 2 guys, Pellick and Pulock, playing over 20 minutes a night. And now, you know, they lose Adam. So they add Andy Green, a veteran guy. You know, they'll be able to protect him a little bit more in their system there. So I think Andy Green could be helpful, obviously. Terrific guy away from the ice, knows Lamoriello, understands, you know, this game for a long time. So a helpful pickup. But, you know, let's face it, guys. In the best of times, they don't score a ton of goals. And now on this trip, I mean, they haven't scored at all. And if you're in that locker room, I would think you're just waiting for the general manager to do something. And my problem with the Islanders is, or my question for the Islanders is this, is like, it's when you play a system like the Islanders play, you can't just go out and add an offensive player. You need to add someone that can be an offensive player, but play within the structure that you have, because I don't think the Islanders are going to get away from who they are, you know, just to accommodate a player. So, you know, I start thinking about who would be a good fit. And, you know, I come back, for me at least, to Pageau. I think they're a little thin up the middle, right shot guy, can have a little offense, can play in a lot of different situations, can play in a structured environment, had success for the Senators in the postseason a couple of years ago. So that would be a guy I think would be a good fit for them. But I think they've got to figure out something, you know, to help that offense along right now, because, you know, I know the league, it goes in spurts sometimes. There's hot streaks, there's cold streaks, but this team, they defend great, but they don't defend as good as they defended last year, in part because they're missing a piece back there that was probably more valuable than people realize at this point. I think they've got to go out and find something. I think Pageau would be a guy that could come in there and give them a little jump.
You know, they have had a hard time scoring on the wing as well, and we'll close on this thought. Yeah. EJ, could you see the Rangers and the Islanders doing a deal with Kreider?
Yeah, I know there was a little speculation about that, and you know, I would say in the old days, no, for sure. I mean, that was just, it was a different league then. I think nowadays, even though Lou Lamoriello was an old school guy, you know, I just think that if you're the Rangers and you've decided that you're not going to sign Kreider and you're going to trade him, I think you've got to trade him for the best price. Now, if I would say that there's probably a premium that the Islanders would have to pay because of that circumstance and right. the rivalry and the closeness of the franchises. So it's less likely. But I think if Lamoriello offered something significant to the Rangers or players or prospects that the Rangers really liked within their group and their amateur group really liked or coveted these guys for whatever reason, you know, I think it would be more, it's more possible now than it used to be. And like, we're not too long ago, the Devils and Rangers made a deal. Ray Shiro made a deal with Jeff Gordon. So I would say it's more possible. This would be a bigger deal because Kreider is, you know, he's probably the biggest fish that's out there right now. And I think he could be a terrific fit for the Islanders as well. But, you know, I think there would be a premium attached to that. And it would just depend if Lamoriello wants to pay it.